What is up, you three-inch fools? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hitch up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare because you have no idea what it means. Break it down. Tell you what it means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin in whatever way I feel I want to this week. This week, the word of the week is Godigudin. Godigudin. G-O-D-Y-E-G-O-O-D-E apostrophe E-N. It's basically an amalgamation of the phrase, God give you good evening. It's a way of saying hello. I have no f***ing idea how I'm going to sneak God you good evening past Kevin. Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll pause, seek a greater meaning despite all being well, and break down the video of rapper Big Sean's performance in a middle school production of The Tempest that's been tearing up the internet this week. But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. I won the coin flip before the show, and I've elected to go first. So here we go. Our first question comes from Emily Gans, who emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. She writes, "Esteemed philosophers... At Ophelia's funeral, Gertrude mulls over what could have been if she lived in a comedy instead of a tragedy. What do you think is the most bittersweet alternate ending that could have been in the canon? In other words, what alternate ending do you most wish you could have seen?" So there are obviously a lot of options here for changes you would like to make, but the one, the way I attack this, alternate ending that you wish you could have seen being what ending is the saddest.
Yep.
That if I could save one sad ending, which one would it be?
Okay.
And I think, and you know, maybe this is for various reasons, I think King Lear is the saddest ending.
Sure.
Just for both what actually, you know, the scope of the tragedy.
Yep.
You know, you actually, when you look at the scope, there are a lot of plays with a larger scope. But yeah. I would change Lear, but I guess it's not really the ending. I would just have Lear not retire.
Nice.
Then just
change the beginning.
There's just not a play. But, you know, because it all, how many people end up dead because he decides to retire? And if he doesn't, right. Like, that may happen afterwards. But, like, the scene with Cordelia, he doesn't disown Cordelia because right. He never makes her prove, you know, whatever. So that would be mine. King Lear, I would change. I would do an alternate ending starting from line one.
Nice. What's up, King? Nothing. Cool. So for me, this, I'm going off the same idea of which tragedy we change the ending of. It's not necessarily bittersweet, but I would change the ending of Macbeth.
Okay.
So that Lady M doesn't kill herself.
Uh-huh.
She rolls in when Macris is fighting Macduff and is like, "Hey, do this for me." And Macbeth just cuts Macduff's head off.
Okay.
And then they just go on to be king and queen, like, forever.
Wow.
And they are the greatest couple. And, like, that whole idea that they're, like, a superpower couple.
Yeah.
We just see it.
We just like, see
it's
the...
It's like Macbeth part one, Macbeth part two.
And they just go. It turns into Tamburlaine, basically.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I'd like to see that.
All right. Question number two. Miranda Bishop emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with literally seven duel questions, so she is my hero for the week.
Yay.
The first one on her list that we'll take a crack at is... I recently visited a coffee shop that had sandwiches on their menu called the Hamlet and the Lady Mac. If you were to make a deli sandwich named after a play or a character from Shakespeare, which would you choose and what would be on it? Duel away, you mangy curs.
What?
Dan, as mangiest cur, you go first.
Oh, come on. I'm the most esteemed philosopher. I don't know about the mangiest cur. But I think since we're doing She's the Hero, this question should be about heroes and not subs.
Okay.
You know, get it?
I do.
A hero.
Tick, tick, tick. Kind of,
great. So I'm going to go with the Verona.
Okay.
And the Verona is based off the first line, two households. So it's a half meatball, half Italian sub. So you get basically Yeah, that's right.
That does not sound appealing.
Oh, it's very good. It's like 2 6-inchers. You know,
yeah,
they're
sure.
Not, like, not like mixed up together.
Right.
But you have one half is just meatball parm. So you get the nice marinara, some Parmesan cheese, delicious. On the other half, we get all the different Italian meats, mortadella, capicola, salami, prosciutto, all the different cheeses, hots. Definitely some hots on there because it's hot in Verona.
Sure.
And then olive, like just an oil and salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
That's interesting.
Fantastic
that you
sandwich.
That you went best. Yes, it's funny that you went with the meatball sub because mine is a meatball sub as well.
No kidding.
It is the Demetrius and Chiron.
No,
it's a meatball sub on a pillowy bun with just buckets of sauce. Just
awesome.
Way too much sauce. There's no way you're eating the Demetrius and Chiron meatball sub
That's
without ending up covered in the red stuff.
Beautiful.
So yeah.
What would you make the meat out of? Is it like a traditional?
Oh, it's beef. Definitely.
All beef?
Definitely beef. Don't go back in the kitchen. It's definitely
cool.
Just beef.
I found a fingernail in my meatball.
That's weird. Okay. Must be one of the cooks. Don't worry about it.
Okay, great.
Question number three. Finally, Vanessa Coakley emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with a dual question that was definitely unprompted. She writes, "Hi, guys. I was flipping through some old Linfield Middle School and high school yearbooks and was reminded of the well-known fact that Kevin Michael Condardo was voted most likely to succeed in 8th grade and senior year of high school."
What?
Majorly impressive. What Shakespeare character do you think would have come in second place to Kevin at Linfield High in the most likely to succeed balloting?
This is not what I have in my script.
So, that is true. That I was, I don't like to brag about it, but I was God. Voted most likely to succeed in 8th grade and senior year.
Did you win the popular vote?
hey, pass. but, you know, as a two-time MLTS winner, I know
God.
The key to this is both to, it is a popularity contest in one sense.
Yes.
But it's also part a political machination where you need to give the illusion of professionalism, which I have tried to give my whole life.
Well done.
With those two things in mind, I think the most likely to succeed at a most likely to succeed voting would be Portia from Merchant of Venice.
Ah,
because she's clearly super duper popular.
Yep.
And then also, she excels in intramurals, like mock trial, for certain.
Yep.
And yeah, I think she'd run away with it.
I couldn't agree more. I have Portia.
That's 89 episodes, the first time we got stuck.
Right? Yeah, she, to use one of your phrases that I love, is she was, what is it, she was born on third base and thinks she hit a triple?
I don't know that I would apply it to her, but yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? So there's that sense of just like, I have everything. This is great. Except for maybe a father.
Oh,
but
God.
Other than that, she's got everything. The world's at her fingertips. She just has that sense of, I mean, she rolls in, yeah, and she runs the show.
Mm-hmm.
She shows up, she takes over a court case. She's like, yeah, I got this. When she,
that's true.
She just, I think she, and she, the only problem is she doesn't succeed because she ends up with Bassanio.
Well, so, we all made mistakes in our youth.
Right.
And
I can't believe you won twice.
Well, you know, I ran a good game. I was reelected. That's most likely.
4 more years.
Right?
Oh,
so there you go. That is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast. And we are on Facebook at facebook.com. No Holds Barred Cast. Daniel.
Yes.
Shall we do some homework?
Yes, let's. Mortals, perchance you wonder at this show, but
wonder on till truth makes all things plain. This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from Yahoo Answers user Teresa under the heading, "What is the moral or lesson in Shakespeare's play All's Well That Ends Well?" And that is literally it.
Okay, good, great.
What is the moral or lesson in Shakespeare's play All's Well That Ends Well?
That is, okay, great. Thanks, Teresa.
Right.
Is this for homework, you think?
I can't imagine why else you would ask this question.
Oh, wow. I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Go on.
The moral of All's Well That Ends Well is that everything works out. No problem. No. All's Well That Ends Well.
If you were one on the homework on the homework subreddit, on the Shakespeare subreddit, when people post homework questions, since it's like a violation of the rules of the forum that they make, like that's the one rule is don't post homework questions.
Right.
So when people do, there are two types of responses. There are the people who are like, don't bring us your goddamn homework.
Yep.
And then there are people who troll with the wrong answers.
Exactly.
And that would, I'm not shocked that you fall into the second camp.
Why is that the wrong answer?
So it is an interesting question though, because I've been thinking, I'm not sure I know.
Former director of our review, right? Like, Well That Ends Well.
The moral? Well, like, you know, Helena, is it you can get what you want if you work hard enough?
Persevere.
Yeah, but that's a pretty weird way to get that moral across.
Right. Well, how many different people persevere in the play?
All right.
The king.
Right. Helena.
Brothers Dumain, are they perseverers?
They don't really... They're just generally awesome. Well, they get right. Parolas.
How about, here's a moral, don't be a dick. Bertram.
But then, but if Bertram wasn't a dick, then he would have just been in an unhappy marriage.
Right. There's no play again.
And you look at the Italians, you know, yep. Diana helps Helena.
Right. Bed trick. That's a moral. Bed tricks always work.
Jesus Christ. or lesson. So who's... Yeah, because who...
learns the biggest lesson?
Right? Is it Bertram?
I think Bertram is the one that has to learn. Helena succeeds.
Right.
But she falls more into the moral side. And Bertram falls into the lesson side, I think.
Yeah, I mean, could the moral be something like, you know... take time to pause before you know what you want, but before you make the request.
If you make the decision.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Although she certainly does pause. I mean, she's thought this way for years and years and years.
Right. Just hanging around.
Maybe
waiting.
It's like, take a deeper look at, you know.
Well, is it that the end doesn't justify the means? Is the title... backwards? Like if you're happy with this, if you can sit with this situation and go, you know what, that's fine, you might need to look at yourself a little harder.
Interesting.
You waited all this time and you went through some pretty bizarre stuff to get what you wanted, and you got it, but it's not great,
right,
what you got,
right?
But if that makes you happy, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, I feel like that's a weird parallel to Portia in Merchant of Venice, where she ends up with Bassanio, and then at the end there's kind of like that a little twinge of buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like...
I know that too well.
Yeah.
Hey.
So there's a little bit of that here too, but we don't see it from Helena.
Right.
Although she does... Doesn't she say, like, if you don't want to stay married to me, you don't have to?
She says, if it appear not plain and prove untrue, deadly divorce step between me and you.
Right. So there is the, like, where this isn't, like, she recognizes that it's not perfect.
Right.
What is she saying, plain, prove not true?
Basically, the ring and all the different conditions that he had set out, that Bertram set out.
I see.
And she's saying, if this isn't true.
Oh, then it's not. Okay. So then it's not like, if this sucks, you can go.
Right. No, it's like, I got you.
You gave me a checklist and double I knocked pain. It all out.
Yeah. Yeah. Will you be mine? Now you are doubly one. Like, she's done everything.
I mean, is the more... Right, so then maybe it does go back to Bertram, like, don't
say things you don't mean.
Right, exactly.
If you can do this, if pigs can fly, I'll marry you. And then she goes out and, like...
Makes a pig cannon.
Yeah. Check this out. Splat.
Booyah. Is this another... You know, maybe this is the second of the great contract law plays.
There you go.
After MOV. It's like, you did technically say all these things to a king.
And it happened.
So...
Bertram. maybe Shakespeare had a thing against guys whose names started with the letter B. First names.
Bertram.
Bassanio.
Benedict.
Baraccio.
Benvolio.
Boris.
Boris? What play was Boris in? And Barone for the
it's
win.
It's when he collaborated with Chekhov on that great
God.
Shakespearean tragedy comedy. Oh. Boris, the Dread Pirate.
King.
Uh-huh. It's wonderful. Esteemed scholar Dan Bollier weighing in.
Yeah.
Or esteemed philosopher or whatever.
I'm a philosopher. I think that happened. Therefore, it did.
Well. Moral or... Okay, so I guess we need to pick one of these.
Yeah.
What is the moral or lesson? God.
The moral of All's Well That Ends Well is when you're stating a contract, make sure you think through everything you say.
Read the fine print.
Read the fine print.
Same as Merchant
or
of Venice.
You're going to get pinned with a dude.
Yeah.
And that's All's Well That Ends Well.
Woof. This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is "take time to pause," as featured in Act 1, Scene 1 of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Let's hear the phrase in context.
I do entreat your grace to pardon me. I know not by what power I am made bold, nor how it may concern my modesty in such a presence here to plead my thoughts. But I beseech your grace that I may know the worst that may befall me in this case, if I refuse to wed Demetrius.
Either to die the death, or to abjure forever the society of men. Therefore, fair Hermia, question your desires. Know of your youth. Examine well your blood, whether, if you yield not to your father's choice, you can endure the livery of a nun, for I to be in shady cloister mewed, to live a barren sister all your life, chanting faint hymns to the cold, fruitless moon. Thrice blessed they that master so their blood to undergo such a maiden pilgrimage, but earthlier happy is the rose distilled than that which withering on the virgin thorn grows, lives, and dies in single blessedness.
So will I grow, so live, so die, my lord, ere I will yield my virgin patent up unto his lordship, whose unwished yoke my soul consents not to give sovereignty.
Take time to pause. And by the next new moon, the sealing day betwixt my love and me, for everlasting bond of fellowship, upon that day either prepare to die for disobedience to your father's will, or else to wed Demetrius as he would, or on Diana's altar to protest for aye austerity and single life.
Boom.
Booyah. That was Take Time to Pause from Act 1, Scene 1 of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Daniel, you want to give us some context?
Sure. This is right at the top of the show, Act 1, Scene 1. Basically, this is the moment of inciting action in the play, where Hermia has come in and is like, I want to marry this guy, and this guy wants to marry me. And basically, Demetrius has a claim on her, and Theseus is like, you got to marry him, or you can die. Or you could be a nun. And she's like, no, I want to marry Lysander. And Aegeus, her father, is basically the one that's like, Theseus, I want him. I want Demetrius to marry my daughter.
Right.
And basically, Theseus is in the process of wedding Hippolyta. And he's like, everybody, shut up. Take some time. In a couple of days, we're going to get married. On that day, let me know your choice.
Right.
So this will drive them into the woods eventually.
So Hermia has some time to pause here. Yep. So basically what he's telling her is, this is a pretty big decision that you're making pretty flippantly here.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you take a second?
Yep.
Think this through all the way. Think of all the little choose your own adventure fork paths here, and yep. Come back in a couple of days and tell me what you want to do.
Yeah. You're being a little impetuous at the moment.
So this is one of my life rules, is to always sleep on big decisions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this could be the more eloquent way to say that. I always, before a big decision, I always take time to pause.
Do you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah.
You ever just get caught off guard with, like, you need to make this decision now? Or you're like, nope, I don't.
Almost never.
That's good.
Because what are decisions, you know, unless you're like in a burning building, like...
Right. Don't take time to pause.
In that instance. But it's like, you know, yeah, if you have a decision, like, do you want to do this or this? It's like, let me get back to you tomorrow.
Sure.
If it's a big enough decision, people will give you the time to take time to pause.
Right.
You
exactly.
Know?
That's true. When buying a car, that falls into the big decision category of like, I want this one, I want it now. But it's like, the car will be there.
Yeah.
And if it's not... one just like it will be there.
Right.
Take time to pause. Can you do the insurance? Can you really make those payments? Think about it.
Right.
Run
the numbers.
Do you need that Corvette? Or maybe you can get like a little BMW. Or maybe a VW.
Maybe that would be a little more practical, I think, yeah. Yes. If you have been in love with your ward's son for your entire life, and the king issues a series of challenges to trick him into sleeping with you, and then you end up marrying him, maybe you take time to pause and think if that's really the way you want to live your life.
That's a good idea. Or if someone asks you the moral or lesson of a play that you really don't care about that much, and you need to make up an answer,
you take
time to pause.
Yeah, take time to pause and hope that your co-host fills in the blanks a little bit.
Great. another possibility is, as we've mentioned in the pod, I work at a fantastic restaurant, and frequently my coworkers are like, I'm out of here. I'm quitting right now. I can't do this anymore. This table did this. This table did that. This table did this. Hey, take time to pause.
Mm-hmm.
Go back. Recollect yourself.
Right.
Figure it out. It's not worth quitting. You miss out like $20 on a tip.
Yeah.
Not worth your job.
Right.
Tough market out there. Take time to pause.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the line.
Right.
Just like talking someone off a cliff.
Right, absolutely.
If someone is taking a hard line stance on, say, not watching the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
which...
Go Pats, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah, Pats. The reason we're even using this phrase is because it was in a text message from me to you this very week.
Oh, yes, that's right.
When it was like, you were just not going to watch the game. And I was like, hey, take time to pause.
Mm-hmm.
Think this through. This mm-hmm. is sports history.
It is. It was.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
And you missed it. I'm hurt.
I abstained.
Courteously.
You know, there's this meme on the internet, the hold my beer meme. Have you heard this?
I have not heard
basically nothing good ever happens after the phrase hold my beer.
How good.
So it's like you're like,
not if you ask me, I'll hold your beer.
There's a great commercial that my mother is like, my mother loves, is like the perfect encapsulation. Hi, Mom. Of men and women. It's these three guys like around a pool.
Okay.
And one of them has the pool skimmer with the long pole.
Oh, yeah.
And he tries to pull, like he runs up and he sticks the pole in the pool and he tries to pole vault and he gets over the pool and like smashes through a table that has all like the food on it.
Oh,
and all the
perfect.
Guys are like, whoa! And then it cuts to the women, all their wives on the other side of the pool, and they're like, I can't believe I married him.
What
like
an idiot.
Exactly. But that is a typical hold. Like you're standing around drinking beers in the backyard and you're like, do you think I could pole vault over the pool?
Oh, totally.
And you're like, I don't think you could, man. I don't. And all the guys are like, nah, dude, you can't do that. And he's like, hold my beer.
Got it.
That's the hold my beer meme. And I think hold my beer should always be followed by take time to pause.
What are you going to do right now?
Exactly.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I'm absolutely going to try to pole vault over a pool this summer.
Oh, well, I will hold your beer.
Great.
Great. So there you go. That is Take Time to Pause from Act 1, Scene 1 of Midsummer Night's Dream. Use it in your everyday conversation and let us know where you drop it in.
Yeah.
All right, Danny. Plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week.
Yeah, I have a correction for the fine folks at shakespeare.mit.edu. if you're listening, you need to go correct Midsummer Act 1, Scene 1. The strong verb yield is missing from the line. So will I grow, so live, so die, my lord, ere I will my virgin patent up.
Mm.
That doesn't make any sense, MIT. Get on it.
Eggheads.
Your friends at UNH.
Go Cats. Susan English Facebook messaged us at facebook.com. No holds barred cast with an interesting note. He hurt himself on that one.
I wasn't ready. I didn't see that coming. We don't have the banter script, so I don't know when. I'm just going
to
be ready.
With an interesting note in regards to our comment from a few episodes ago about Orlando being a little dense for not seeing through Ganymede's disguise. She writes, if Orlando is a little dense for not seeing through Ganymede, what about Olivia? Isn't there a case to be made for even the most intelligent people not seeing what they really, really, really don't want to see?
Hmm.
What I mean is, it must have taken a very great-souled man to find out that the elegant court lady who condescended to him at the wrestling match was also the grubby urchin who had been mocking him in the forest. A lesser man might have turned away when that romantic illusion was finally ripped away. Orlando couldn't have wanted to find out that his ideal Rosalind was, well, dragging him around the forest and making fun of him. Or maybe I'm an idiot. And ending with that comment, we'll always find you a home here on No Holds Barred.
Right. We got that covered.
It's an interesting question that, you know, Orlando definitely could. Like, what's that end? That's the opposite of the duel question where it's like, it's not a bittersweet ending. It's a nice ending turned to a bittersweet ending.
Right.
Where he's like, are you fucking kidding me?
I don't want you anymore.
What did you just do to me?
Right. That's Neil LaBute. That's Shape of Things.
Oh, yeah.
Where Adam at the end is like, I f***ing hate you.
Oh, interesting.
And she's like, I gave you the spine to tell me that. So, you know, that could be
That's the that loose adaptation of As You Like It, Neil LaBute's The Shape of Things. Right. Do not read NC-17. Do read if you're in college.
It's a good play.
Do not read if you're in middle school.
Right. NP Pilch. You guys could do that at Northeastern.
Mm.
It's really interesting. I think there is some credence to the idea that if you just don't want to see it, you don't.
Oh, totally.
But it does qualify the characters in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think that's more of the on-brand jaded cynicism that
right.
we love here at No Holds Barred. But a Shakespearean audience member would probably just be like, it's magical.
Right, especially with Orlando, the biggest white meat baby face in the
right.
canon.
Right.
Like, Olivia is, I actually think Olivia does see through it.
Really?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Well, I saw a production where it was pretty obvious that she knew that it wasn't the same guy.
Oh, right.
Like, she was, like, falling for...
Wrong play.
Cesaro. Cesario.
Cesaro.
She got the big swing.
The uppercuts. Loves it.
But then when Sebastian showed up, she was like, ooh, yeah, I'll take this one, please.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. Some banter. Skylar Collins' Facebook friend requested me this week.
Well.
And addressed me as Mr. Bollier in a message.
Interesting.
So it's nice to see the wheel has come full circle.
Oh, God.
I am here.
Oh, my.
Skylar, what's up? We'll see you out in San Jose. Can't wait. So, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah,
let's figure it out.
Yeah, sure.
Going to be in San Jose. Currently in San Jose. Depending on when this drops, I will be actually probably in flight back from San Jose by the time you're listening to this. So, doing Shakes Experience with some senior citizens. Doing a couple of workshops teaching seniors Shakespeare. And then directing Shakespearean's Hamlet at Cafe Stritch.
Ooh.
So by the time you're listening to this, it will all be over.
Right. It will but have been. How was it?
It was great. Yeah. I was phenomenal.
I'm sure.
The cast was great.
Yeah,
did
sure.
a great job. The show was fantastic. I can't believe what happened at Act 3.
Oh, my God. I heard about that. Yeah.
Right. So it was a fantastic experience for all of us.
Right. Also, if something incredibly newsworthy happened in the past 10 days, that's why we haven't covered it yet.
Right. So sorry about that.
Nick Nelson, who is at Atonalist on Twitter, tweeted, amazing Beckett Logan callback in regards to our last episode.
Thank you.
Which is an amazing joke with a splash radius of like 5 people.
We nailed it, though.
New listener Kevin Mann of Golden, Colorado wrote us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with some kind words. He writes, Hi, two gents. Bravo. Just listened to episode 68. Blown away. Great stuff. You are really hitting your stride, and I'll rue the day when I catch up to you and have to wait for new episodes. And Kevin, as current listeners will tell you, sometimes you have to wait longer than others, according to certain iTunes references, where we, because we're late sometimes.
Wow. Well, now we're super early.
Now we're super early.
So we're listening, we're responding. Thank you for putting those up.
We're changed men. We notice that we lose subscriptions when we don't put stuff out every week. So we've been scared. We're sufficiently intimidated.
Right.
Mr.
Take time
listeners.
To pause. Put it out there for you.
Take time to pod.
Oh! Email came in from Charlene Smith, who is the artistic director at bravespiritstheater.com. She writes, Hi, Dan and Kevin. I finally started listening to your podcast over the last 2 days, whenever I've been driving places, and I wanted to drop you a line and tell you how much I've been enjoying it. Like, it's legitimately really good.
Hell yeah.
It works so well. ... I'm only sad that I've missed out an entire year of listening, having met you at last year's stop.
Mm-hmm.
So... thanks, Charlene.
Yeah, and you know, when we get messages like this, it really does make you think, like, what the hell took you so long?
You're leading a Shakespeare company?
I know.
I mean, she's working hard.
She's commuting.
She's commuting. Commuters love. She also writes, I've noticed myself during the 3 episodes I've listened to already doing something that felt unfamiliar. Grinning. It's a facial expression that's been in short supply over the past year. It feels really nice. So
good.
Thank you
for listening,
Charlene. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for being on the podcast, perhaps.
It will be after
tease?
Yeah,
that's a tease. I know it's a
big tease. Market tease. Sure.
Market tease.
Sam Buchanan, who is at afongen on Twitter, afongen on Twitter, tweeted us to say Jonathan Bate has a great Shakespeare MOOC massive open online course available. Just FYI, not to discourage your online read-along, which, to be honest with you, Sam, that's actually very discouraging, so please keep that shit to yourself.
It's not discouraging. I've taken that MOOC,
yeah,
Jamook, and it has nothing to do with text analysis. It has to do with, basically, like, Shakespeare birthplace, birth trust, and breaks down Shakespeare's life.
Oh, okay.
Fascinating. Worthwhile. Yeah. Worthwhile adventure. So any listeners out there who want to know more about that, feel free if you have 6 months to spare.
Oh.
It's fun. It's easy. It really is. I learned a lot.
Huh.
But it has nothing to do with Shakespearean text.
Oh, great.
In terms of analysis. So thank you, Sam, for your input.
And thank you, Jonathan, for staying off that corner.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Sir John. There's some Twitter feud this week with a dear friend of the podcast, Mia Gosling.
Actual friend of the pod, Mia
Gosling. Actual friend. Former interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
And these two esteemed philosophers and Props Pony about, you guys came after me. I was attacked on Twitter.
I don't know that
viciously
I did.
Viciously attacked. But you see Scarecrow over there? The Scarecrow dance. Just watching as Mia came at me. After all the nice things I said about her,
mm-hmm.
I'm deeply offended, and I'm taking it. I would like to air my grievances.
Could you refresh us on what she said about you?
Happily. Dan, you're a bore. We've heard this before.
Well, that's a 1776 quote.
The subject's no Venus, referring to me, also 1776. Mm-hmm. Just ruthless.
Mm.
She called me a blowhard.
Well,
can you believe it?
If that
I'm
is true.
To hear my. What?
An endearment.
This is insane. I'm a lovely man. Beautiful soul.
Well, well.
Currently rocking a fantastic Jack Skellington onesie. Thanks, thanks, Lion underscore M. It's a great onesie. A nice man. I don't deserve to be called out on Twitter by Good Tickle Brain.
Well,
hasn't even drawn us a comic yet.
Some of those things are true. By the time this comes out, maybe she has.
I hope so.
And heated, all right.
Yeah, very upset. Hurt. Yeah, hurt, I'm upset.
Yeah, for me personally, it was very nice to hear from you. Thanks to Patreon subscriber Jennifer Porter, who dropped us a physical letter, like, in the mail this week, because as a recipient of one of our 12th night cards, she knows our home address.
Great.
The postcards were wonderful, but closing your note, best regards from an internet stranger who has your address because turnabout is fair play, was both accurate and troubling.
Very frightening. Very. I was reading this, and I was like, Kev, is this weird?
I mean, we did find hers and internet stock all of our patrons to find out things about them.
I don't
think
we did that.
No.
Definitely didn't do that. Good guess. The aisle is full of noises, she writes on the back of the card.
Because that was her quote.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great quote. Friend of the podcast, Travis McElroy, I noticed that in the latest episode, he dropped a God Ye Gooden. And I was like, you're listening. He's listening. He's listening. I think that's because he's listening to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
But he just hasn't called in yet.
That's fine. He's biding his time.
Waiting for the right moment.
Sure.
So I was on the train. And I was like, whoa! Got really pumped.
That was the everyday shakes for this week's my brother, and me.
That's right. other banter. I think that's pretty much all I have.
That's
for
what
banter.
You got. Great. If you like the show and want to kick us a few bucks, you can help out our Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. If you pledge $3 a month to help out the show, you'll get on our 12th night card list next January, and you'll also have a chance to access other special benefits, of which we don't have any at the moment because
sexual
we're not
benefits.
No.
Friends with benefits.
God, stop. Of which we
would
don't have.
You stop?
Would you stop? Of which we don't have any at the moment because we're not sure what type of stuff people would be interested in. We did have a few bites on an online course or I don't know how we would do that. So we'll have to keep talking about that. But there were at least two or three people tweeted us
right.
That they'd be interested in that kind of thing.
I think we could do something where we just like do basically a live stream and just sit at a table and drink beers and break down some text like what we do on normal Tuesday nights.
What if we did it? Here's one for you that actually someone else had suggested this as well in a separate idea.
Okay.
If we did it like could we do it like a radio call-in show? Like since this is basically sports radio anyways.
Right.
And
we have
just,
the technology?
I don't know. Paging Nick Nelson.
Nick Nelson, are you Nick Nelson, can you hear me?
If we did like, all right, from 8 to 9 on Thursday night.
Yeah.
We're Eastern.
Right.
We're going to be talking Hamlet. Call in 555-555 shakes shacks
shake shack
shake shack shake shack
shake shack. Can you hear me?
And then people could just call in and be like, "Yeah, I was just wondering what you think the moral of All's Well That Ends Well is." I'll hang up and listen. First time, long time. Thanks. You know,
cool.
Like it's WEI in the 90s.
Yeah,
we need to get a soundboard.
That'd be so great,
right? And maybe that's the type of thing. I don't know if anybody cares about that. Let us know.
Let us know. Do people listen in real time these days?
Well, no, but we could tape it.
And then just drop it as an episode?
Yeah, it's like a bonus episode. But you can only participate as a donor? We'll figure it out.
We're working through this idea.
Yeah, or it could just be live, but...
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be really... I love the idea of taking calls.
Yeah, right.
I get really pumped when tweets come in with questions.
Yeah.
Like live conversation.
Yeah, that people are actually listening.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
You're out there.
Special thanks to our latest Patreon subscriber, Jen Dion. Thank you so much for coming on board.
Jen!
And being a good influence on the rest of the Bard Flies out there. We really appreciate it.
Jen is one of the highlights every year at STA.
Oh.
She is amazing. And we shared a heart-to-heart.
Oh.
We shared several heart-to-hearts, actually.
Uh-huh.
She's just a bright, bright, bright light.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I'm pumped to know that she's listening.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And she said at the crab dinner, she's like, I'm going to sign up for your Patreon. And I was like, oh, thanks. And to myself, like, I've heard that before.
Sure.
And she did it.
Yeah, she did.
Jen!
Yeah, so thanks to Jen. And if you are a listener who doesn't have the means or interest in supporting us financially, but still want to help us out a little bit, you can do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes so we can kind of try and keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcasts.
And keep buzzing your ear holes.
Exactly. Gross when you put it like that. We got three or four new ratings this week. No new reviews.
What were the ratings? All 5 stars?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
So we're up to like 74. We really would love to get to, it'd be nice to crack 3 digits.
Yeah.
So 26 of you out there, just log into your iTunes and give us that rating.
That 5-star rating.
Let's get to 6 figures before
2045.
No, God.
6 figures. I mean, that's a lot of figures.
6 figures, right.
Yeah. Three figures.
Three figures before
Valentine's Day.
Wow. That'd be quite a push.
Actually, this is coming out after Valentine's Day.
Problematic.
For St. Patrick's Day.
Patriots Day.
When is that?
April, like, 19th.
Nope. It's February 5th, baby.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Nailed it. Yeah, sure.
Actually, I forgot something else.
The football team.
That's right. Like, the world champion football team again.
Woo!
Limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars than you made this year.
Tom Brady. something we have talked about, but we haven't worked out the deals on. We might as well do it here live on the pod.
Oh, all right.
Are we going to go public with our weight loss challenge?
Yeah, I mean, this will land. Yeah, so.
So how do we want to do this?
How do we want to phrase this? So you want, give me the general gist.
The gist here would be that we would.
Let's start with, we are both very overweight right now.
Very overweight. We are of a shape that is not shapely.
No.
We are in podcast shape.
Winter podcast shape.
Right. Now, we're hoping to go on a worldwide tour starting in the summer.
Sure.
We're hoping to. All men live in hope. All men, I hope, live so.
All men, I hope, live so. Also used in a text string this week.
That's right. Because we're that cool. So we'd like to get in shape for our world tour.
Sure.
Of podcasting. So it's February 15th, hypothetically.
Yes.
It currently is. It shall be so.
Keep it kayfabe, yes.
Keep it kayfabe, baby. February 15th, so 4 months? Go to June 15th?
Do you want to go to Memorial Day?
Je me souviens.
Because we're going to want to
have beer and barbecue.
Yeah.
Memorial Day. So we're looking at May 26th.
Okay, so from February 15th to May 26th.
So basically 3 months
right.
and 10 days.
So we'll weigh in now, and then it's a percentage drop.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we've done in the past is just made bets.
Right,
and then
Dan has lost and never actually used.
That's correct.
I still have.
I owe you 2 trips to the casino.
Well, the first one was you wear a T-shirt for a night that says you have to wear something that I give you for a night that we go out for.
Right.
So I still have that in my pocket.
That runs out.
I didn't see it in the rules.
I will have my bond. It's in there.
I'll
type it up and show it to you today.
I'll bet you will. I know exactly what it's going to be, too. I just have some things that need to come into place.
Mia Gosling? Drawing me?
No.
And a T-shirt?
No.
I'm awesome?
Who would want that?
Me!
So we've done this 2 times before, but what would...
here would be to do, like, rather than one big bet,
right.
do, like, bi-weekly check-ins when the pod drops.
Yeah.
And whoever is farther behind reaching their goal.
Or like, if we just set benchmarks and we don't hit them.
If you don't hit them.
Right.
And the idea is calling all the teachers out there
mm-hmm.
to send us in questions. Like, what are the questions that you want to ask?
Or essay. I think this is, what questions have you assigned? So if you're an English teacher out there and you have Shakespeare essay questions, like 3-page essays, you send them to us.
Oh, God.
If we don't hit our mark, we have to write each individually have to write a 5-paragraph, 3-page essay or whatever.
Oh my God.
And post it on Twitter, on Facebook as a punishment, as a penance for just that extra 6 beers we couldn't resist.
Right. I also I'd like to add questions you've assigned or questions that you want to ask your students but aren't allowed to.
Well, those should be dual questions.
Well, those things that like are deeper.
Okay.
Essay questions rather than 45 seconds.
Like, yeah.
Really, like, break down the sexual innuendo of Hamlet.
All right. Yeah, sure. So we're going to do that. So we'll do that bi-monthly on the 1st and the 15th.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we'll set our benchmarks and we'll post that up.
Yeah.
And if we miss them, we're writing essays.
So we need the teachers out there. I'm looking at you, Yee Pitts Lancaster, Meg Dowdy.
S.E. Moskowitz.
Teachers who are, yes, exactly. James Kimball, I believe, the teacher as well.
So all you English teachers, send us your tired, your poor, your essay questions.
And we will do them. Oh, God. We have homework again.
I'm never eating again.
That's it. This is how this works.
Right.
And then if we meet all of our goals, at the end we'll just...
All of you have to write essays.
Yeah, there it is. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, so that's... You got anything else?
No.
I didn't... what was the word of the week?
I'm going to... God, you could end.
You son of a bitch. You didn't? Did you use it?
Yeah, I said Travis McElroy. You're the used worst. The God, you could end this week. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
How sweet it is. All right, let's finish this up. To keep in touch until next time, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. Follow us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, oh, shoot. We forgot to note Big Sean's Tempest performance. Guess he'll have to stick with that rap thing.
Ah, crud.
Ah, well. We'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. My name is Dan. And so, God gee good end.
I hate you. I love you.